Welcome to Trending in Education. This is Mike Palmer. Today, I'm joined by Jean Desravines, who is the CEO of a company called New Leaders. We're going to be talking about leadership pipelines, what it means to lead, thinking about education, context, lots of stuff for us to talk about. Jean, welcome to Trending in Education.
Thank you, Michael. Happy to be on.
Very happy to have you. And we always start by getting in your own words, your origin story, let our listeners understand a little bit more about who you are and how you got to this point in your career.
Sure. Again, thank you for having me on your podcast. I've dedicated my career to education because education changed my life. In essence, it saved my life. I'm the youngest of 10, first generation Haitian American. My father was a prominent judge in Haiti, was exiled during the dictatorship of the Duvalier regime.
Yeah.
So we migrated to Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. And just to jump in real quick, I don't know if you know, but I'm also located in the borough of Brooklyn.
Are you? Where?
Yes.
Where in Brooklyn?
I'm in South Slope, right by Greenwood Cemetery.
Sure. Okay. So you're familiar. So moved to Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn. My father worked two jobs, one as a security guard and the second as a janitor, because while he was a judge, he did not speak English and he wanted to make sure he could take care of all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I attended public schools for elementary and middle school. And when it was time to go to high school, I went to our large comprehensive local high school, 4,000 students, less than 25% graduation rate.
Ooh.
And after 2 days, my dad said, if you continue in this school, you'll end up dead or in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Pulls me out, sends me to a Catholic high school, takes a third job driving a cab to pay for tuition. Michael, during my senior year, at the start of my senior year, my dad has a massive heart attack behind the wheel of the cab.
Oh, my God.
We rushed to the hospital. By the time we got there, he had passed away.
Mm.
We asked for an autopsy. The doctors told us they were surprised he lived for so long because his quality of life was so poor.
Mm.
59.
Mm.
My mother, who was with my dad for 42 years, had a mental breakdown 2 weeks after his passing.
Mm.
So I went to my high school principal, Dr. Lorenzetti, and said, I've got to drop out. I need to find a job. I need to find a place to live, and I need to help support my family.
Yeah.
Dr. Lorenzetti said, absolutely not. You're not going to drop out. He helped me apply to college, find a place to live, find a job, and changed my life trajectory.
Yeah.
And the importance of this story, Michael, is that my two best friends growing up, Eddie and Isaac, stayed in the large comprehensive high school. Eddie ended up joining the Bloods gang and was killed at the age of 17. And Isaac started selling drugs and died in prison. So the sacrifice that my father made and Dr. Lorenzetti's leadership allowed me to be in a position now where I can serve and be a beacon of hope to help provide opportunities for underserved resource kids, particularly children of color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. It reminds me of the humanistic psychology idea of congruence, where there is an element to your narrative that, you know, it's like the callback, you know, the elements of your youth are part of a through line of who you are today and how you're giving it back, paying it forward. Can you talk more about New Leaders and the problem space that you're going after there?
Absolutely. So based on my background, I decided to dedicate my career to education and, to your point, to pay it forward. So prior to New Leaders, I served as an advisor to Chancellor Joe Klein in the Michael Bloomberg administration.
Mm-hmm.
And what became clear to me Michael, when you look at education, fundamentally, education is a human endeavor. And one of the single most important factors that drive outcomes for kids is the quality of the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, it's important to keep in mind, we've got over 3 million teachers in this country.
Yeah.
So the only way that you can drive quality at scale as it pertains to teachers is based on the quality of the leader. Because as you and I both know, leadership matters.
Mm-hmm.
It matters in government. It matters in the for-profit sector, in the military. Schools are no different.
Yep.
The leader sets the vision, creates the culture, hires, and motivates the team.
Yeah.
Based on that realization, for the past 20 years at New Leaders, we've been focused on identifying, developing, and supporting the next generation of school leaders.
Right.
With a particular focus on helping to close the representation gap that exists. So the majority of our leaders are leaders of color. Mm-hmm. To date, we've developed over 8,000 leaders, impacted 2 million kids across 40 states.
And then the leadership that's involved is a pretty complex and multidisciplinary, multivaried experience. Can you describe a little bit for our listeners who is a school leader? What's the nature of that type of work? And, you know, you kind of have to understand the end result of your program to then back into, you know, okay, then we have these types of folks who we need to get to that end state. What is it like to be a school leader? What's involved in that role?
Well, think about it. The best analogy is to think about a leader, a school leader, in many ways, as the equivalent of a CEO.
Yep.
That person is tasked with managing various stakeholders. Think about parents, staff members, students, the community.
Yeah.
Managing multi-million dollar budget.
Yep.
And from our perspective, and this is the big differentiator, responsible for ensuring that every single child in that building is reaching their potential and doing everything possible to ensure that they are driving academic success.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to do that, it entails having a set of skills, talent management. How do you identify, develop, support great talent, namely your teachers, an instructional focus?
Yep.
And how do you ensure that the teachers you've got in place are driving the necessary instructional practices to drive outcomes for your kids, creating the right culture and operational support?
Yeah.
So it gives you a sense of some of the key factors from our perspective that's necessary to be an effective school leader.
Mm-hmm.
And to ensure that we're able to set up those leaders, we have an intensive process. We work with our partners to identify teachers who've demonstrated outcomes for students, who also have demonstrated adult leadership skills. Mm. One of the biggest challenges, if you're a great teacher, Michael, you have proven yourself to be effective at working with kids.
Yep.
Yet to be a great principal.
Right.
You've got to be able to manage, develop, inspire adults.
Yeah.
So what we do is we spend a year in an intensive residency, similar to a medical residency, where we provide ongoing training, support through videotaping, through coaching, in order to see growth. Once that is completed, we work with the school district to help place our aspiring principals into a principal role and provide ongoing support to that leader.
Mm-hmm. And then just the nature of the problem or the scope of the problem, there's a representation problem in the teaching profession specifically, but then I imagine that carries right on through into school administration, school leadership. Can you shape up the scope of the problem and really the challenge of developing community-based schooling when the leadership of the school may not be representative of the community?
right now in our country, the majority of students are students of color, Michael. And yet, when we look at the composition of teachers and school leaders, overwhelmingly, they're white. Mm-hmm. Over 80% of our teachers, 80% of our school leaders are white. Yet, all of the research and our experience have shown that all students, particularly students of color, benefit when they have greater representation. Namely, yeah. They have teachers and school leaders who reflect them. And the reasons are straightforward. They serve as role models for the students. They hold them to higher expectations. And they are less likely to move forward with suspending them.
Mm.
Given those factors, oftentimes there is understandably great conversations around how do we continue to diversify the teaching workforce.
Mm.
One of the most important ways to ensure that happens is by diversifying the principalship.
That makes sense.
Because one of the main reasons teachers leave the profession is actually not because of compensation. That's what we spend a lot of time talking about. But the Gates Foundation and Scholastic did a comprehensive survey of over 300,000 teachers. And what they found was that 97% of teachers said the single most important thing to them is who they report to, the yeah. quality of their supervisor. Mm. And it shouldn't be a surprise to us. We know our managers matter. Right. So diversifying and having much more representation ensures that you have greater teacher representation, which means greater retention, better outcomes for the students of our country.
Yeah, makes sense. I'm a sports fan. It does remind me of the NFL or, you know, the NBA is doing a great job of this, where like taking ex-players and feeding them right into like a coaching pipeline. It does feel like there's an element of that to teaching where teaching and coaching aren't the same thing, but there is this element of you need to kind of do the teaching time, and then that almost qualifies you from an experience and kind of perspective taking point of view to be able to lead teachers. But then there's a whole nother set of skills and competencies that really come into play when you are leading adults, when you're in that adult leadership role. Can you talk about that coaching dynamic and maybe the kind of social emotional lift that's required to kind of get out of the I'm playing the game, I'm a teacher, to now I'm kind of managing the game, I'm coaching, I'm kind of at the next level. Can you talk us through what that's like?
It's an incredibly important point because it's a different skill set. And what makes you a great teacher, as you all know, similar to being a great player, does mm-hmm. not translate to you being a great coach.
Yeah.
It is a different skill set and it's different muscles you've got to work.
Yeah.
So how do you clearly identify, develop, and support a team towards a shared vision, create the culture of high expectations that's necessary in order to thrive in a school building,
right,
and be willing to hold your team accountable and have the difficult conversations where it's necessary?
Yeah.
Because those skills are so complex and yet crucial to driving the necessary impact in schools, what we do, Michael, is oftentimes, similar to sports, we videotape.
Yeah.
Right. Aspiring leaders working with their teachers, and they're able to watch those videotape.
Yeah.
See themselves in action.
For sure. Right?
See what they're doing well, see what they need to work on. They get feedback in order to drive continuous improvement, which we believe in any field is essential for continued growth.
Yeah.
And that's one of the key elements of our work as well, is how do we continue to provide the tools necessary to drive continuous improvement?
Yeah, I love it. It reminds me of the concept of deliberate practice. Practice? You talking to me about practice? deliberate practice. Shout out to the real AI. You know, the answer. Shout out to the answer.
That's the true AI. Before there was AI.
Oh my God. Yeah. But just from a leadership perspective, you know, you are leading hearts and minds. There is a motivational element to what's going on nowadays. To me, one of the biggest risks of AI, which we did make it to the AI part of the conversation now. Thank you, Alan. But, you know, I think it's dispiriting to a lot of humans and a lot of professionals who are concerned. They already feel kind of maybe under siege in their classroom to begin with. Yeah. You gotta kind of empathize with them, still build the structure and lead them, and then also ideally motivate them. Can you talk about the motivational aspect of the role?
It's one of the differentiators that we see between good leaders and transformative leaders, the ones who can really inspire and motivate teachers towards a shared vision. It's hard work. Education, driving outcomes for kids, particularly in this moment in time, as we come out of COVID and everything that's happening in our country, being able to help people understand what is necessary, excite them, and motivate them day in, day out is a major differentiator. And again, some of that we believe we can help develop, support, and some of it is intrinsic. That is how who you select is critically important for these roles, because as you know, some of it is just something you come with and a level of passion and commitment towards this work that emanates through everything you do.
Right. It does remind me also that something that comes up frequently is how lonely leadership can be and how isolating it can feel to be the person who's really responsible for a team, a culture, a school. One of the elements that you're providing is a peer group and a set of mentors, kind of like a social network, a safety net in that respect. Can you talk about the power of that and maybe some of the implications of how that can impact leadership pipelines?
It's one of our differentiators and what I view as a game changer. You hit the nail on the head. Leadership is lonely. And oftentimes, particularly in education, everything is being thrust down on the school and the school leader.
Yeah.
And you're by yourself trying to figure out these very complex challenges. One of the things that we do is we develop leaders through a cohort model.
Yeah.
Where they're working together. And once they become a leader, we don't walk away. We provide ongoing support through our alumni network, where they continuously meet together to engage in conversations, to be authentic, to be both authentic and vulnerable, because they're not being evaluated. These are people who are there to support them and not to try to evaluate them, which is a difference.
I've made that analogy in the past, similarly when talking about coaches, where I started as a teacher for Kaplan back in the day, adult education, but it's really your score, your performance. I'm here to help you. And I do think a little bit of that shifting of the engagement to be more learner-centered. There's also a lot of research around the power of like one-on-one tutoring, one-on-one relationships. There's certainly a human element to all of what we're talking about. The other thing that's really out there right now is the influence of technology on the future of work, and then also the future of education, the future of schooling. That's a topic that comes up a lot on this show. In a lot of ways, I think you're almost a counterpoint, where there's, at the end of the day, a human leader who needs to be developed in the process. How do you think about leadership as it intersects with how technology and the nature of work is changing?
I think there is tremendous benefit and power in technology. So we were joking about AI, and right now people are viewing AI as possibly a silver bullet to everything.
Yeah.
I have a different perspective. I think the power of technology as it pertains to education is that it can be an enabler. It can help take away some of the redundant, unnecessary bureaucratic work
that
often exists in schools with teachers. And it can even provide some personalized experience.
Yep.
Help extend, from my point of view, the school day, where teaching doesn't necessarily have to be a 5-6 hour endeavor. It could be year round, 24 hours a day, right?
Because
our kids are always on their phones.
Yeah.
I don't see technology, AI replacing teachers,
right,
principals, because as you and I have discussed, it is intrinsically a human endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
The social emotional components, the socialization, what we've seen, and if we've not learned anything from COVID when it comes to education, is how lonely and the mental, adverse mental impact of being by yourself can play for young people.
Right.
And there's a incredibly important role for school to play, but we can continue to leverage technology to be an enabler and to take things, to take tasks that's unnecessary, that's overly bureaucratic, away from teachers and school leaders.
And then what about the role of school in preparing folks for career paths on the other side? There's the career path within education where there's a lot of thinking and work that you've been doing there, but a related point in a related area that winds up being a topic on this show a lot is like, how is school, in this case K-12, equipping our young learners to respond to a rapidly changing world of work? Thoughts on that element?
Yeah. It's such a critical question, because oftentimes, even as young as middle school, but certainly high school students,
mm-hmm.
question the value proposition of school.
Yeah.
Why am I doing this, right? Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly carrying over into higher ed now, too, that the questioning of the value of that pathway.
That's right. So across the continuum, we're seeing it. What we are seeing and what's exciting is that there are a number of school districts and leaders who are recognizing that and saying we need to be much more intentional about tying education to workforce.
Yeah.
Creating a level of awareness for our young people around what the opportunities are as it pertains to workforce, giving them options so they can begin to start to do work that's much more experiential, with much more hands-on tied to actual work,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to being purely focused on theory and things that does not make as deep of a connection.
Right.
So when we're talking about STEM, for example, I'll give you a very concrete example, because I was meeting with this partner yesterday in New York City, along with Boeing, for example, forming a partnership to help young people understand, if they go into STEM, the various career paths they can take.
Yep.
In working in aerodynamics, working in engineering, and so forth. Doing much more of that, I think, will be critical and will yield better educational results, because people see the connection between education and workforce.
Yeah. And that brings me to maybe a question about assessment. You know, in some cases, it'd be better to see whether a kid could, you know, build a robot versus pass a test on what's involved in robotics. There's an element of like, how do you get the assessment to be more about in practice using the actual skills? Practice. I keep coming back to it.
Practice.
We're talking about practice, Gene. In the case of becoming a school leader, like, what is that practice like? How do you get the teacher their reps in so that they understand what it's going to feel like to take on a little more of that mantle of leadership?
And it's through feedback, observation, and getting back to the point we keep joking about, it's about practice and watching them in action as they do it, to see there is a benefit of continuous practicing something, getting better at it, and getting the feedback to continually improve it.
Yeah. That reminds me of where I was originally. This is good. Thank you. Deliberate practice, which is the idea that, you know, this is Anders Ericsson's work, which is about peak performance, where you want to be doing the same thing over and over again. This is the 10,000 hours idea.
Right.
But you're also getting feedback throughout. And whether that feedback is video sessions or it's having a coach or a combination of all that, I know it certainly, as someone who records myself doing interviews, that level of feedback that I get on what happened when I did this versus that, you know, you have to get those reps in to kind of get to the next level. We're getting closer to time here, Gene. It's really an interesting conversation. I'd love to hear from you also maybe around what out there in the world's capturing your imagination these days. Any other thoughts before we start to wrap here?
Yeah, a couple of things I want to point out. One is, as we think about this work, it's important for us to think about how do you drive impact at scale? So one of the pieces I did not talk about is when we think about technology, I'll give you a concrete example of how we're using technology to fundamentally scale our work in a powerful way. I shared with you, Michael, for the past 20 years, we've developed these leaders, over 8,000, impacted over 2 million. After the murder of George Floyd, we felt there was an opportunity to do much more. So we partnered with two preeminent historically Black colleges, Morehouse College, Clark Atlanta, to say, we are going to be the largest provider of equity-focused leaders of color in the country. And we're going to do it online, leveraging technology to create an online certification and master's program. Within 2 years, we're already the third largest.
Wow.
And our goal and our desire is to help transform what the face of leadership looks like in urban education. So you ask, when I look out on the horizon, what do I see? I see, while there are some short-term challenges, I see some significant opportunities around how do we use AI in such a way that helps truly advance how we think about education through providing personalized tutoring, high touch engagement for both our leaders, but also our students in a way that's truly differentiated to help drive outcomes and to help equip them to take on the jobs of the future.
I'm talking to Gene Desravines, the CEO of New Leaders, doing really interesting work out there. We'll include links to the stuff that we've been talking about, Gene's work, on the show page for the episode. We're wrapping up here, Gene. Listeners who stuck around thus far, thank you for listening. And as we wrap, any concluding thoughts, takeaways for folks as they head back to the rest of their lives?
Thank you, Michael, for having me join. It's been a pleasure having this conversation. Enjoyed not only the conversation, but reminiscing about Allen Iverson and AI. My biggest thought is education is foundational. We cannot have a thriving economy, a civic society, independent thinkers without great, sustainable education. And that only happens by ensuring that you have great leaders who can provide the level of guidance, support, and leadership that's necessary for our students and our teachers.
Amazing stuff here with Gene Desravines. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode.
Thank you so much, Michael. Really appreciate it.
And for our listeners, hopefully you enjoyed what you heard. If you did, please write us a review, subscribe, do all the good things. We'll be back again soon. This is Trending in Education.